Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. He loves you. Pastors have to do every week, every Sunday, every day with their congregation.
Amen.
it tells them to act like you know God. Oh, act like you're in the family mm-hmm. of God, Dr. G.
Amen, you're right. Because too often, you lose sight of what you're supposed to be. Yeah, just like the word.
That's true. It's like we allow that old man so often. And what he's saying here is that, mm-hmm. okay, once you were innocent.
Right.
And you didn't know mm-hmm. any better. You didn't even know better. Now you've come to the light. You've accepted Christ. You know how to be obedient.
Exactly.
But you still fall back into acting ugly. But it's worse now because you know better.
Ooh.
It's one thing when you have a child Ooh. That's trying to learn and test the boundaries.
Right.
But you know what? Once you learn those boundaries,
Hello.
The next time you touch that stove, I'm going to beat your tail.
There
the
you
first
go.
Time, I'm like, okay, all right. You don't do that.
Right.
But that's what he's saying. It's like, okay, you were in darkness, came into the light, act like you in the light.
Act like you got some good sense.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? I was just sitting there thinking. Although we should know better,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
we don't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's why we need to come to, you know, church school, Bible study,
mm-hmm.
things like that.
To learn.
And if you go down to verse 9, it says, for the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So he's saying, if you got the Spirit of God inside you, you should be demonstrating that you are a tree that can bear good fruit.
Amen.
Right.
Because he says a tree is known by the fruit that it bears. A good tree bears good fruit. A bad tree bears bad fruit. And
Amen.
So we should be demonstrating on a regular the good fruit of what the Spirit is, of truth and goodness and righteousness. And then he said, what you do when you bear that fruit in verse 10 is proving what is acceptable unto the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we were talking about last week. Do we really know what's acceptable to God? That might be the question we need to ask. Do we? And then on top of that, do we care?
Yeah. And when we know, do we act on it?
Right. It's like proving what's acceptable to God. Do I care? Do I know? Do I act on it? Or sometimes I just act like I don't care.
Right.
You know, it's just, I'm going to do my thing.
Right.
I know I should be right, but I'm just going to be gangster and do what I want to do because
mm-hmm.
I feel like doing it. And that's the way some people are.
Right. Right. And the thing, you know, if the Lord is telling you that you should not do something. You shouldn't go into places. We were just talking to Jessica today about
mm-hmm.
guilt by association
right.
because she was around some people that were doing something, but she wasn't doing what they were doing.
But
because she was around them, something was said to all of them, and she's like, who, me? Well, God has told you don't be around that.
Don't be partakers of it.
So you're just sitting there enjoying it. But it was just as bad as if you were doing it.
Right.
So we have to be cognizant of, you know what, God really doesn't want me to be around that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, well, okay, I can be around it. I can rub elbows with it as long as I don't act on it. No, God doesn't want you around it.
And you'll get burned by it.
Right.
And we know several people that they got burned by that. People end up doing jail time because
right.
they were in the car with somebody.
Right. It was robbed a bank.
And
you
crazy.
Didn't say, I'm either getting away or don't rob that bank.
Right. So if we pop down to verse 11, Ephesians 5:11, it says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. In other words, he's saying, you got to get to a point where you look at the situation and say, I ain't going over there because
right.
I know what they doing over there.
Right.
I'm not trying to mess with my name is Bennett.
I'm not in it.
I'm not going over there. I know what y'all doing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying the same thing with the church. It's like, you in darkness. You knew what you was doing when you was over there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you was doing at the club at 2:00 in the morning.
Right.
Why do you think you gonna be able to take your Christian self up
Come
in the club,
Come
get you a few drinky poos.
At 2:00 in the morning.
At 2:00 in the morning, when your flesh has been let down
mm-hmm.
and feeling good because what you got, that other spirit you done got going on in you,
uh-huh.
and think you're going to be able to act honest.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
And that's what it thinks. Like, okay, Lord, I got this. I got this. And that's the problem. We're saying, Lord, I got this. Lord, I can't do this. I can do this. And the Lord is like, I'm not telling you I don't want you to do that just to be mean. I'm not trying to be a mean parent.
I know you.
I know you.
Amen.
It's like with my kids. I know that they can only hang out so long. I know when they get tired, when they get cranky.
Mm-hmm.
I know when they need sleep. I know if they don't get sleep, how they're going to act.
Right.
And they try to act like they don't need sleep, they don't need rest, they don't need to eat a certain thing,
mm-hmm.
and then you just let them go in and do it, and then they mean, cranky, and upset, and it's like, well, because she didn't get any sleep.
Right.
All right.
Diet.
But get mad when you try to tell her you need to cut it down, you need to come home,
uh-huh.
you need to settle down,
uh-huh.
need to take your shower, whatever, eat something, and chill out. You're not going to miss anything out there.
Nope.
Nope.
But your body needs rest and proper food, and eventually earn out.
Exactly.
But that's how we do the Lord. It's like, okay, Lord, I know you got it, but I'm strong enough to resist. I'm just going to sit here.
Right.
I'm just going to have one glass of wine,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not going home with that guy that I just met.
It looks so appealing to
and
me.
Then you get there, and like you said, a lot of the devil plays things where if he knows that you know him, and if you know him, he knows that you know him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That then you put, and the Lord knows. I mean, the devil knows that. So you put yourself in that situation.
Yeah.
The devil's gonna say,
"Yeah,
he's gonna take that lonely feeling away from
you." He's calling you right now. He's
calling you right now, and it's not gonna hurt you.
Exactly.
But the Lord is saying, "All together."
Because you don't know the big case and luggage and 18-wheeler of drama that he got parked outside in that parking lot.
That's right.
It might look like a little cup full of drama. Oh, that's just a cup full of drama.
Mm-hmm.
But that cup full of drama fits in the cup holder of the 18-wheeler
that's
outside.
Right.
Full of drama. Did somebody get that?
I got it.
So he says, reprove was doctor. In other words, he's telling us that in so many words, Dr. G, we as the church, we need to tell it like it is.
Amen.
Not sugarcoated, and tell members of the church what's wrong is wrong.
Amen.
See, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, you can't tell anybody anything.
Nope.
No. Don't get mad.
Yep.
Get the behind on the back.
Yep.
I ain't going to your church no more anyway. He always telling me what this, what that, what that. But in order for you to deal with the sin, to get it right, you got to deal with it. You got to correct it. You got to reprove it. You got to tell. If your kid is acting up and you never tell them that's not acceptable, they never
learn.
Know it's,
that's right.
It's not acceptable.
Behavior is learned.
It is. Mm-hmm. And so we as a church, we have to take the word of God and we have to present it to everyday application. That's why, you know, we started this Bible study. There's nothing new under the sun. So we can see what everyday life situations are and be able to apply the word to those situations. So it's not just something we're coming to do, to
mm-hmm.
study, or coming to talk about it, but it's something that we've come to live. And when you can begin to start living the word, then you begin to start experiencing God on a different level. But if you're just doing it just to learn it, just to say I learned it, to say I went through it, that's not helping you. But when you begin to start saying, hey, this is wisdom, this is knowledge, this is power, this is enlightening my life, this is good for me, this is bringing me close to God, what happens is you no longer see it as something I'm going to study, but you see it as something that's coming to enhance your life, to make your life better.
And that is what I was saying. As far as behavior is learned, you can't know when God is speaking. God is telling you, but with this, you don't get to know him.
Right.
And the best way to know him is to word him. And if you just read his word and you don't talk about life application, it's just words.
It's just words. And so what he says in verse 12, he says, for it is a shame, Ephesians 5, verse 12, for it is a shame to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. So he's saying to the church, he's saying, no, these things aren't hidden from God.
Nope.
These things, you know, what we do in the dark is going to come to light.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, why are we, it's almost like we're talking about it, but we're not dealing with it. In other words, we're gossiping about what they're doing in the darkness, but we're not telling them what the word says they should do.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you know they're going down the wrong direction.
All right.
Your kid's going down the wrong direction. You sit back and keep your mouth closed.
Mm. Mm.
Woo! Pastor G.
That's the reality, and shame to say, but they don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to, and they don't want you as parents or spiritual to tell them what is.
Yeah.
You know, it sounds good as long as we're giving them little nicey-dicey sermons. Where
everybody going to heaven.
Everybody going to heaven. But they don't want to hear that everybody ain't going to heaven.
Oh, Lord.
And we might as well keep this thing real.
So then do we, as parents, as pastors, as spiritual leaders, only give them the sugar-coated?
Mm-hmm.
But even when they get upset and they snap back and say, I don't like you anymore, should we still consistently tell the truth? Tell them the truth?
Absolutely.
Why?
Because if you don't, then we're at fault.
Amen.
We're at fault. The other one is doing wrong.
Mm-hmm. But what did Paul say right here in verse 12? He says, for it is a shame to even speak of those things which are done to them of them in secret. But all things are, what does it say? But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light of, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And then he goes on to say, this is what, I guess this was a song that they were singing. So he quotes a song or something that was commonly sung to those, by those Christians who were telling people that what you were doing was wrong. So in verse 14 it says, wherefore he says, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. In other words, it's our responsibility to bring it to their attention,
right?
Because they're actually dead in sin. They think they're saved, but they're dead in sin, for us to tell them, this is wrong. And if you keep doing what is wrong, what contrary to God's will, you're not going to make it over there in heaven. It's sort of like what the prophets did. The prophets always told the truth about what God was saying, and he always told them there's going to be a consequence. If you do this, you're going to get a proper relationship with God. If you do this, you're going to get the wrong relationship with God. And they killed every one of them.
Amen.
They killed every one of them. Mm-hmm. They certainly did. But they continued, and they knew they were going to die.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They knew it. They knew that they were going to be persecuted for Christ's sake.
Right.
But they felt that if I can just save one person,
just one,
one person, and get them to understand, they need to stop yielding to their own understanding. They need to stop doing things because they want, even though their conscience is telling them, you know what, I shouldn't have cut that person out on my job the way
right.
I did that. You know what? This person needed help, and I knew
yeah.
they needed help, but
yeah.
I was too busy.
Yeah.
I didn't have time.
Exactly.
I had an opportunity to witness and talk about the goodness of the Lord, but I don't want them to know that I'm
mm-hmm.
saved.
Exactly.
Why? And you know stuff like ping. That's when you know you're wrong, because
mm-hmm.
it pings you.
Yeah.
Your conscience tells you
mm-hmm.
when you're not doing
it. Right. And so what he's saying here is, saying, don't sit back and just talk about, oh, they do so and so. A lot of times church folk
yeah,
are good at that.
The gossipers in the world.
Big time.
Yes, my goodness. Oh, my
But won't go and find out what the word says. Pray for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for direction. Speak to them in love about the word.
Right.
And make sure that they're not as guilty.
Yes. Look in the mirror first.
I'm doing the same thing.
And then
give them the word, because here he says, don't speak of those things, you know, without doing something about it. The church has a responsibility to the body of Christ to point out the problem in the body of Christ. It's sort of like where you're walking to a room and you're supposed to speak, and your wife's sitting there, and you got a big piece of mucus hanging in your nostril.
Nobody said anything.
And nobody's going to tell you about that big piece of mucus sitting in your nostril.
But they ain't going to talk about
but
it.
But they ain't going to talk exactly what I'm about.
And
they ain't going to talk about it.
In secret.
Yeah.
As he said. And
yeah, you be sitting
said,
there talking.
He's talking about it in secret.
And, like, and you be thinking that you think that,
you
that he said, oh, he's
thing.
Doing a good job. And they talking about
in his nose. Or if you got toilet paper hanging on the back of on the back of your pants.
Right.
Just a whisper, talking in secret, instead of saying, sweetie, you can step off to the side and get that toilet paper on the back of your pants. Or can you blow your nose?
Yeah, do something like that. You know.
Uh-huh.
But in secret, it's the same thing, right? Everybody in there is talking about so-and-so that had that thing out his nose. You
exactly.
See that?
Exactly. But he's telling them, if you say something to them, that can bring those who are dead. It
right.
straighten those out who
mm-hmm.
are saved,
right.
but are having difficulty. It'll straighten them out. But those who think they're saved, it will help to bring them back from the dead.
Right.
And so this is what he's saying. He's saying we can't just push that evil stuff aside and say, well, they come to church every Sunday,
mm-hmm.
but then every Sunday through the next Sunday, they act like the devil.
Hello.
Right.
Come to church every Sunday.
Right.
Right. You've got to stand there in the pulpit and tell them, just because you come to church on Sunday
right.
and you read the word, if you ain't living nothing, then you're wasting your time.
Right. It's worse, actually, because you should know better. Then you're sitting there and collecting dust. If you don't have a desire to learn about his word and apply it into your life,
Amen.
If you don't have a desire, then you're just doing that out of tradition.
Because mm-hmm.
your mommy told you.
It's religious. You're religiously doing something. Like you religiously,
not even thinking about it.
Religiously, no, you don't religiously turn the radio on. Religiously,
right.
you know, turn the TV. Religiously watch the football game.
Right.
It's just a habit that you into.
Correct.
And so, you know, this is what Paul is saying. He's saying, we got to deal with this evil stuff. We got to deal with this stuff that is not righteous, that's not pleasing to God. We got to deal. We just can't sugarcoat it. And if they get mad, they get mad. You're going to have to let the chips fall where they fall. Being a leader, a spiritual leader, is not a popularity contest.
It is not. And that is so true. You have to tell the truth. It would be wrong. That's why I asked you as pastors, why not? Why not to spare your feelings? Why don't you just not say people to correct people and then just let them go and do wrong and bust hell wide open?
There you go.
But then it's like, okay, but their feelings weren't hurt.
But the blood's on your hand.
But you have some
spiritual leaders that do that.
That do that because they don't want to tell people the truth. And it's so important. It's like, okay, yes, they may be upset with you for a minute, but eventually the Lord is, if they have a heart for God,
exactly.
it will be revealed to them. You know what? Saying is true.
It's true.
And versus you talking behind their back and complaining and talking about people behind their back instead of saying that you can honestly say the same thing I said to your back, I said to your friend.
Exactly.
And now what that means is if I'm going to take the risk to get my feelings hurt by telling you the truth, that's the person that has a sincere heart for you to be right.
Exactly.
And that's what we call tough love.
Amen. But, you know, also, growing up, my motto was if I can help someone, live in this.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And as I became a pastor, I learned that as a spiritual leader and
mm-hmm.
father, you have to learn how to act for, be led by the Spirit as to when to speak, when to pull back, and then when to go forward and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because sometimes we do get caught up and we say things that go all out the way.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we do hurt people.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
then let the chips lay where they lay.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have a job to do.
Amen.
And if we don't give them the truth, all of that is going to be held against us.
When we stand and give an account.
That's right.
Which is what it's saying here. It's exactly what it's saying. Like, don't say it in secret.
No. It's not helpful.
Why are you going to gossip behind somebody's back? If you know it's right and you know that you can go to that person in love and you say, this is what God said. This is why you're like, this is where, and I know you're not going to want to hear it. I know that you're not going to wake this out.
Right.
But if you want to be blessed, you have to make this out.
Mm-hmm. You can't get around it.
Right.
You can't get around it. Mm-hmm. And once you do that, you have given them, it's like we stand in light. In other words, we are the conduit that Christ was the conduit that stood between life and death. With his arm stretched wide between life and death. So we are now his conduit, his vessel being used to reach from those that are in death to give them a bridge over to life. So we have to stretch out like that. Sometimes it's not comfortable as a leader to have to be vulnerable, arm stretched out, take all the abuse, all the mess, take all the backbiting, the hating, the misunderstanding, and all you're trying to do is to be that bridge that stands between life and death. Every day that we come to minister, even when we're ministering right now, we're standing between life and death. There are people making decisions between life, spiritual life, and spiritual death right now.
Right.
And so the spiritual leaders and every Christian should understand we're like Christ now. We're standing with our arms wide open. It hurts sometimes. You get your feelings hurt. You misunderstood. But you can get over that, and you know if one person can come from death to life because you've ministered the word, then heaven rejoices over one soul.
You know, what I find, you know, struggled, even oh no. And oh
yeah,
I thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
That those are the kinds of things that see when people are genuine,
mm-hmm,
and they are sincerely trying to get the word to help make change.
Right.
Those kinds of comments that when you give it to them,
mm-hmm,
it's gonna come back positive.
Right.
Now those that don't care ain't gonna say nothing.
Right.
Or they'll come to you, but I didn't like the way they
like
exactly.
Or
this
you were talking
about me.
About
I call your name.
But that's our position. We're and Paul is doing it right here.
Uh-huh.
He's standing. Look at it, verse 15 or 14. So whatsoever says, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. We're standing between life and death. If we who are saved don't put that message out there and
mm-hmm
say, wake up from the dead,
right,
Christ will give you life.
Right.
If we don't say that.
And live it.
And okay live it, then people will remain in darkness.
Right.
And remain dead. And so we have to do it. We have to go. We have to address it. We have to speak about it. Because we're the only visible body of Christ on this earth now that has our hand extended and our hand pointed to light, hand extended in the dark, pointing to the light, saying, hey, mm-hmm, you're in darkness, you're dead in sin, that's where the light, Christ can give you that light.
Mm-hmm.
Take my hand, you know, and place it in his hand,
right,
so you can live.
Right.
Amen.
This is what Paul is saying. And so you go to verse 15, he says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. You know, some people just act foolish.
Amen.
Lord have mercy. And they act unwise, and people say, that's why I don't go to church.
That's true. That's why I said you can't just say it. You have to live it.
That's why I don't go to church, because stuff just like that.
Uh-huh.
I came to visit. Sister cussed me out. Usher gritted on me. Amen.
Amen.
Bebe's kids stepped all over my shoes. Come didn't
on
say excuse me.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
And the pastor let it all go on.
And the pastor didn't say
a word.
Word.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yet they in that time of hallelujah, praise God.
Come on, man.
And that's why it's very important that we as Christians, especially in church, when people come in, I don't care what's been going on in your life.
Amen.
You need to put a smile on
hello
your face and say
and
hello.
Greet them.
Come on.
Amen.
And it's not just when you're in church. You should do that
all
in every
the time.
If
amen
you're in a grocery store,
amen,
and you're sitting in line buying groceries, what harm does it do to say hi?
Good
how
morning
are you? Good morning.
Mm-hmm. A dog will shake his tail.
Exactly.
Wag it.
And then it just leaves an impression on that person, you know. Then they're like, okay, you know what? I've been having a bad day, but something that person said
you
or did,
life.
Jesus blessed me.
Amen.
And it's not so much you have to say, I'm a Christian. Mm-hmm.
No.
But you're still doing what
it's
God wants.
Let you your light shine.
It's the way,
and
yeah
so they may not come to your church, but they're going to be like, you know, I want
to. Amen. But when you got to act circumspectly, it's not like, ooh, people pick up on it, especially children. Children will know right away if you're for real or not.
Amen.
They'll pick. You can think you're fooling. They know exactly the way you are. And so instead of spending time acting foolish and unwise, in verse 16 says, redeeming the time. Black folks. We talk about black folks.
Redeeming time.
And I'm not excluding white folks, but Let's just say folk in general. We just say folk, mm-hmm, folk in general have problems with time.
Time can't be on time.
Well, here we go. That's exactly
can't
it
tell time.
Come on. Keep it real.
I don't even know why we wear watches. Got the nerve to have time on our phones for what?
Never mind.
Dr. G.
Uh-huh.
Can you give me some history on what CP time is for the black church experience?
I'm still trying to figure it out.
You talking about color people
for
time?
The black experience.
Color
for the colored church.
Color people.
For all our white listeners, this is for the black experience church. They call it CP time.
Color people time.
They move on their own time. church starts at 11. They come sneaking in.
11:30.
Won't come to Sunday school now. So they can't get up there early.
Right.
But yet, going out, right on time.
Oh, my goodness. Mm. Did I ever tell y'all about the Budweiser Superfest at RFK Stadium?
No.
Luther Vandross was going to be there. He was headlining the Budweiser Superfest. This was in 1980. We had the biggest storm since I ever remember. And the show, I think, started at like 7. And it just so happened I was coming around RFK Stadium, and it was you couldn't even see your windshield wiper was going so fast, but you couldn't see anything. They had people in the parking lot, ladies breaking their neck in their high heel shoes, water up over the curb.
Come on now,
up over the curb. I mean, you couldn't see the curb up over in the street. And they was trying to get in there to get them a spot so they could see Luther on the stage. It's about
what's the problem?
But what I'm saying is you can make time and do that in the rain and they had newspapers and umbrellas.
They will mess up that.
Their weaves and their wigs was falling off, but they were still holding them dresses and pressing it.
Dollar, I can't come.
Oh my goodness!
Because I couldn't even find my umbrella.
I go another
time. When the sun is shining.
But I guess you got to go see Luther because
that's worth their time.
It's worth their time.
I told you that.
But he says, redeeming the time. Why? In verse 16, because the days are what?
Evil.
Because the days are evil. Because there's too many people that are not going to make it from death to life. And that's serious, right?
Right.
I know we've been joking, you know, but seriously at the same time, is that we need to understand that for some people, today is their last day to accept Christ.
Amen.
Right.
While today is today.
Right.
This is their last opportunity. And some people have died today and didn't make that choice between life and death.
Right.
And so Paul is throwing reality out there to the church, to the Christian, saying, you got to... Don't be so foolish and uncircumspect, but understand we need to redeem the time. We need to make this a priority because the days are evil. In other words, there are people that are not going to make it. And we're the only instrument that God has chosen to present that life.
Right. And that's why it's important that we lead by example and we listen. Right. Because the Lord will tug on your heart when he wants you. Just like I was saying, even in the grocery store, maybe somebody's feeling down and depressed. Maybe that's why the Lord wants you to smile at that
person. Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is what he finishing up this section in verse 7. He says, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding, is what you were talking about earlier about what the will of the Lord is. In other words, in order for you to be that light that can make a difference between light and death, understand what the will of the Lord is. You can't minister the correct way if you don't understand who God is and understanding what the will is. You'll do more damage than good. You'll drive people further into darkness than closer to the light.
Amen.
And so it says, be wise. Get an understanding. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Get into the Word. Let the Word get into you. Be the example. So when you do go to minister, you're not looking like an uncircumspectly foolish person, but you're looking like a person that's wise in God, that can present the gospel to those that are in darkness, those that are making errors, those that are making life and decisions so that they can choose life instead of death.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to go to our callers on the phone. We call the last four digits of your phone number. We're going to get you on the air. We're going to start with 212. 212, you're on the air.
2122. Happy Thursday, everyone. And how you all doing today?
Blessed.
Well.
Well, you know,
who went
the only aunt, Pastor, how's everything? Pastor Gregory and Pastor Kayshawn.
Doing well.
But, you know, you can't you have to people in love for correction, or else they'll feel there's they may get intimidated. Mm-hmm. And that could come from spiritual immaturity, but at the same token, love is the key when you are correcting someone.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That way, it, even if they get offended, later on, it still leaves a path for them to come back and talk to you.
Yeah.
And
right.
That's what you want.
That's right.
And that's basically all I have to say.
Let me ask you a question, T1TT. What do you think? What do you think about this as a church or individuals of us standing between life and death? But what do you think about that as far as being the conduit that God uses to stand between life and death? What do you think about that?
Now, repeat that one more time because I have a bad connection.
I was asking the question, what do you think about the church or us as individual Christians being the conduit that God uses to stand between life and death, those that are in darkness, and using us as a conduit to show them the light of Christ?
Well, Pastor, life and death is in the power of the tongue, too, right?
That's right.
The church is so divided on the inside at times on issues.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And really, a lot of those issues don't have nothing to do with salvation. It's just squabbles.
That's right.
And if you can work your way through that.
Amen.
And get down to the salvation part where people just concentrate on salvation, because no matter what, our mission, even those in the dark, we're supposed to witness unto them to bring them out the darkness. I don't care if we like them or not.
Right.
That's irrelevant. If you have made a conscious decision to serve Jesus Christ, all that is irrelevant of who I like and who I don't like.
Right.
Yeah.
And
well, thank you for your
God is not God is interested in us. Look, the harvest is plentiful. I mean, Jesus made it plain, but the laborers are few. And I'm gonna put my word in very few.
Very few. Thank you for your comments tonight. God bless you.
God bless you.
All right, we're gonna go to 9190. 9190. Pick them up. 9190. Are you on there? You're on there. 9190. I see you listening in. Well, Sheila G, I like what Brother Lee was saying, Dr. Lee was saying about the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. And then he was also, Dr. G, saying that whether we like the people or not, we still need to present the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
What do you all think about that?
That goes back to what I was saying, that when I was saying that as leaders or as Christians, when we don't want to get our feelings hurt, do we still tell the truth?
Right.
And that goes along with whether we like the person or not, saying if it's the truth, it's the truth. Whether we want to get our feelings hurt or whether we don't, from a human standpoint, care for the person, because the Bible says we're supposed to love our neighbors even as we love ourselves.
Amen.
So a lot of times we need to get our emotions out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Dr. G?
Well, with that whole thing, we're commanded by God.
Oh, my goodness, people,
we're commanded by God,
everybody,
whether we want to or not. And as Sugar G said, you get the feelings and we have to understand our job. Spread that word. People, whether we like them, dislike them, to help them find Christ. No, I don't like everything that folk do in my church,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
but I'm commanded I have to love them listen. In spite of.
So you mean Christ didn't say, go ye therefore and teach all nations if you like them?
Nope.
Nope. If you get along with them.
Now, if that was the case, then we all be one.
Oh,
you know that phrase, what would Jesus do?
Yeah, yeah.
If Jesus were to like us based off what he liked us, whether or not we liked what we did, and all of us do stuff that Jesus' expression piss him off.
Yeah, absolutely.
But he still loves us
mm-hmm.
anyway,
in spite of.
Which is why he tells us when somebody hits you one cheek, you're supposed
Fair
to
enough.
Turn the
mm-hmm.
other. And that's a hard thing
yeah.
to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially when it's your children.
Hello.
It's like, I gave you life.
Yeah. And this is the whole thing, and I think the church has gotten away from this. You all help me out. If the church has really, Dr. Lee was saying this also, we get caught up on things that really have nothing to do with salvation.
True. It's Bible.
Mm-hmm. I've seen churches battle for years over
yeah.
the color of the carpet.
Hello.
Yeah. Or the chair.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
The color of the carpet.
Mm-hmm.
The color of the carpet.
Amen.
Yes. And they're obsessed with those things, their objects. People get obsessed with their cars.
Anything.
You know, they get obsessed with their job.
Yeah.
And, you know, that job could be here one day and gone tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But Christ is forever.
Amen.
He'll be there when your job is gone.
Come on,
He'll
man.
Be there when your spouse is gone. He will be there when your children turn and die for him.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, preach. Go ahead.
Well, I
be transformed.
That's a
right.
Uh-huh. Your mind is failing.
No.
Because if not, the enemy, as we talked about earlier, we can plant that little
yeah.
seed, the seed, throw a little junk in
mm-hmm.
there. And just when we think we've gotten away or made it over, here comes sleeper.
There it is. And so I think the church has gotten away from doing the basic work
mm-hmm.
of being the conduit that shines light into darkness so people can see the salvation of the Lord. And we've gotten into programs.
Right.
We got programs on our calendars to raise money to do this, to
right.
do this, to do this, to do this. If you have a service, you got to have this amount. You got to always... gimmicking, amen,
right.
to have a service instead of having something where we're praying to help each other, help us get better, witnessing and telling the world. And a lot of times churches become almost like an entertainment show.
Right.
where we entertain each other.
Right.
And then don't do anything the rest of the week to spread salvation or to teach the church. Or to, like you were saying about immaturity,
mm-hmm.
to help us become mature,
yeah.
to grow, to be able to live something, like you were saying. So when you're in the Giant
right.
or the Whole Foods or wherever,
mm-hmm.
that light is shining in the darkness
mm-hmm.
just from your presence.
Right, right. I was actually in the hospital quite a lot this week.
Amen.
The nurse, one of the nurses, you know, even though things appear to be kind of dim, I still was smiling. So then when she asked me, and I was just saying some things about the situation,
mm-hmm.
blah, blah, blah. And I just love it because it's so, so nice anyway,
mm-hmm.
in spite
of. The joy of the Lord is your strength.
Eventually it came out that I knew it, but she's like, I knew it.
Yeah,
knew it by your spirit,
mm-hmm.
by the way that I was acting.
Right.
And
you were acting circumspectly in the world.
Passion. Diligent, very, you know, and because of that, they paid extra attention.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But because
you didn't act like foolish and unwise. I mean, we're just talking about this right here. We can't make this stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
If you weren't acting foolish and unwise.
Right.
You were redeeming the
time.
I just
was letting the Lord. In fact, one of the texts said, you had a card to your church. I'm trying.
Mm-hmm.
She said that she wanted to come visit our church because it's the church that she's been in for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's starting to act up.
Mm-hmm. Acting up. foolish
yes.
and unwise.
She's like, this is too much of us going on mm-hmm. where I am until I'm visiting. So
exactly.
I was like, well, I got a card.
Yeah, I mean, but this is what Dr. G, this is what Paul was
that's
talking
right.
about
uh-huh.
to the church.
That's right. And the bad part about it is that's not the first time we've heard that. It's happening more and more. The thing is, it doesn't matter. Big church, all church, every kind of church, people are just like, God, there's junk going on in the church that is not of the Lord. That's why, you know, I promised the Lord that as long as I live and pass the new birth, do my best to keep that foolish out. I've been there, done
mm-hmm.
it,
mm-hmm.
not coming back if I can help it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had folks believe because they get upset. Well,
mm-hmm.
see you.
Right.
But it's got to be done what God wants.
Exactly.
And people, you're right, people are looking for a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, Christians are supposed to be different.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, we're not supposed to be like the world.
Right.
But too often, you know, you're right. You go to the hospital, people are, and I hate to talk about our folks, but our folks, I know, God,
mm-hmm.
all that stuff going down in Ferguson. Sure.
Oh, my goodness.
It's ridiculous.
Absolutely ridiculous.
And you see the preachers out there trying to bring calm.
Right.
I'm saying you got all these little devils
mm-hmm.
coming in just for what they can get.
And yep. fuel to the fire.
They're not concerned with
no.
that.
Not at all.
No,
not at
the
all.
True issue.
And mm-hmm. that is what's happening. That's what's going on in our world.
Right.
We're getting worse.
Okay. And now focusing on what, why we're here to learn about God, to take it beyond the law,
mm-hmm.
so that we can draw others closer to the law.
That's the plan. And it's simple. But if God has inspired Paul to write a majority of the New Testament scripture, to challenge the church, to correct the church, to chastise the church, to encourage the church on a regular basis through these letters, it's like, you know, we as a church need to wake up and say, hey, God is trying to tell us something. There is nothing new under the sun.
Nope.
We need to get into this word. We need to make this thing a practical part of our lives. Otherwise, we're going to be just like or worse than what the few people Paul was talking to back then.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, it's a shame. It's a shame because we fail to carry out the command to be that light in darkness.
That's
we
right.
we fail to carry out the command that when we're at the hospital,
mm-hmm.
when wherever we are, that we're not being that conduit. And people don't focus on it as life and death. I think people, you say life and death, and it's just a callous thing where people mitigate it like it's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
No, this is real.
That's right.
This is real. This is not cake or syrup on pancakes or whipped cream or icing. This is real. People will spend the rest of their eternity separated from God.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's spiritual death.
Which is why we need to be the ones to let them know, don't be ignorant.
There
it's
you
important.
Go.
I want you to know. I want you to learn that if you don't make a change in your life,
yes.
not only are you going to have hell on earth,
mm-hmm.
but you're going to have hell after you pass away.
Right, right.
So we're telling you a way so that you can deal with the hell.
Yeah.
And when you pass away, you'll have
to don't have to deal with it.
Period.
Exactly.
So it's two things. Like you don't have to wait to die
right.
to get the glory of God or the benefits of turning your life over to Christ. You can get the benefits now. And a lot of times all that benefit is
mm-hmm.
just have a peace in the middle of
the Lord have mercy. Mm-hmm.
Woo!
Goodness gracious.
To be able to go to bed at night, have a good night's sleep.
Amen.
All hell is breaking
Amen.
Loose around you.
And sleep well.
Sleep well.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Because you know, like they say, it is well with my soul.
It
because
well
God
my soul.
Got it. God has it.
Amen. And that's the compassion that I think is slipping away. Well, let me know. I think it's slipping away. Mm-hmm. And what's taking the place of compassion is religion. Religion
right.
is taking the place of, and tradition is taking place of compassion. But you can't get that compassion back, Sheila G., Dr. G.,
mm-hmm.
until the word convicts you to say, awake, when he, in that verse 14, when you go back to when he says, awake, he says, this is the thing. Awake, in other words, wake up. Wake up. The church needs to wake up. Get your compassion back. Wake up. You think you're saved, but you're not saved. Wake up. You think you're doing the right thing, but you're not doing the right thing. Wake up. He's saying get your passion back to realize there's a serious issue going on here. We might see people that are alive, but they're actually the living dead. They're right. The walking dead.
Mm-hmm.
We watch them zombie shows and all that stuff and all that crazy stuff going on with, you know, all that TV show. But there are people that are spiritually dead that are walking around, don't know it. We should know it. Act like it's not happening, but we don't have the compassion. Like a train is getting ready to run over 100,000 people.
Amen.
We don't have the compassion to say, if we don't go out here today and spread this good news, 100,000 people that are standing over there are going to get run over and die.
Right.
We don't have that compassion. I don't think that picture is in our mind.
No, because a lot of times, especially some people that have been saved a long time, it's almost like they have that I've got mine. Right?
Oh, my goodness.
I've got mine. You got to figure out how to get yours.
Ooh.
I got the peace of mind. I know where I'm going after I die. I know I'm holding this, I'm holding that.
Wow.
But you need to figure out how to get yours because I don't want
no
to reach
compassion.
That. I don't want to reach down because I might get some of your dirt on me.
Under my fingernail.
If I have to reach back to help you and reach down because I'm so holier than thou that I can't get in the dirt with you.
You mean you got the church walk now?
I got
you got the church wave, the church class.
I'm going to look down my nose at you. And no, as a Christian, we're supposed to do just like Christ did. Get in the dirt. Christ washed people's dirty, nasty, filthy feet.
Yeah, I saw that in the Daily Bread today.
Yeah. And that was
totally
humility.
Yeah.
That's humility. And the people that allowed them to do it were humble. If you get in the dirt with somebody,
yeah. They
will humble themselves.
Yeah.
And they will say, oh, my goodness, you're loving me. You're caring for me. And I know that I don't have my life together yet.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can love me while I'm in my mess,
yeah.
I want some of what you have.
Yeah.
Tell me.
Yeah.
Tell me what I have to do. What must I do
to
get some of that love and compassion?
Yeah. And that's the compassion, Dr. G, that I think the church is. I don't know if we've lost it, but we're losing it.
Become important.
Mm-hmm.
Become important.
Yeah. And, you know, nothing. We all thought of being saved.
Yeah.
Everybody is. Everybody wants it. I tell you what, I was thinking, well, that's the way I should be. I'd be a millionaire if I stopped being compassionate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All my money, all my stuff that I do for I would be a millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not about the riches on this
right,
earth.
Right.
It's not about the money. It's not about the fame. It's about whether or not I can help somebody.
Mm-hmm.
If I can brighten somebody, if I can be a bright spot in someone's dreary day and help someone. You know, that's why, you know, we listen to Jessica Kidder a lot about talking. But she's always on the phone talking to people about what you need to pray.
Exactly.
You need to talk to the Lord.
Right.
And, you know, we ought to have that kind of spirit.
And
boldness. And boldness that we're telling people we get in touch with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, we mine. Your thing.
Exactly.
And we're letting people.
And that is the challenge for every day. The challenge every day is to pick up on that, what Paul is saying. Pick up on that, walking wisely, picking up on that, understanding what the will of God is, carrying that out because the days are evil. And I'm just praying that that will be the case for the church because time is running out, folks. Nobody knows the day nor the hour when Christ is coming back. No one knows the day nor the hour when they're going to take their last breath on this side of eternity. We're living eternally right now. The thing is, are you going to live eternally in the presence of God or live eternally separated from God? And what I mean by that is, we are in our earthly existence right now, but our earthly existence doesn't stop our soul from living. So when our earthly existence ends, the Bible says that the soul and the body separate, and the soul continues that eternal existence. But where the soul spends eternity after the earthly existence is either in the presence of God or out of the presence of God. And so that's what I think we really have to start tuning in is saying that we're going to live forever,
amen,
either separated from God or with God. And so that as the conduit, as the church of God, is what we've been commanded, like you said, Dr. Z, to do. And so if we had more of that focus, I don't think we would get caught up with so much pettiness,
right,
that besets the church.
Or
right
rubbish
now.
Instead of
right
21226.
Exactly.
That we will have more loving for those that even know that. And we'd be receptive to correction.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. That, you said a mouthful. You might have said a mouthful. But, you know, tonight I know they got their final preseason football game going on. So I'm sure that's where a lot of people's attention are.
Oh,
right,
yeah.
Now. But let something happen to them. And they had to call the medics in. Because they choked on that
wing.
The chips and the jalapeno. Yeah. You choked going down the wrong way. Oh, Pastor. Oh, Pastor. Uh-huh. He had to rush Billy Bob to the hospital because he got choked on the jalapeno pepper on the chips while he was watching the football game.
And Pastor, can you come over after Bible study?
Come up to the hospital soon.
Oh, my. You all are ugly.
Just keep it real.
So you are keeping it real.
But this is the challenge. And like I said, they killed all the prophets.
Yes,
they did.
They killed all of them.
But they all left to be in the presence.
Amen. So that's what we have to focus on. Is though they slay me,
I trust them.
You know? And we will reap that reward.
That's right.
We'll reap that reward, but we can't lose the passion. Mm-hmm. We can't lose the compassion for being that tell people to awake. Tell people that I'm not going to talk about, but I'm going to talk to you about what I said the Lord, so you can experience him in the righteous way for yourself. And that's the way we get. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Good, great lesson.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about, you know, just telling people. You're standing between life and death. You have
sure
that responsibility. You know, it's not just the pastor. It's,
amen,
it's not just the spirit, but it's you.
That's right.
That are the light. God put his light in you. Mm-hmm. And now we're depending on you to let it shine, to be that vessel that he can use to shine in darkness. All right, we're going to ask you to close us out in prayer, Sheila.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to thank you once again for another opportunity found on your word. Lord, we just pray that those will just take it higher in their heart, but let it be shining in their life, Lord. We just thank you for all your many, many blessings.
Yeah.
In your precious name we do pray.
Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. We'll see you all next Thursday night. Good night.